The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Cap and J Hood. J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Rolling on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. We'll get to more of these White Sox calls. A lot of lines are all of a sudden awake. That's it. They want to talk some baseball. And we've got football on a football Friday. But right now, it's Shot No Shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open, offering no juice on NFL games. Lines go up 48 hours before kickoff. The entire month of September. Thank you, Teddy Greenstein. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. We'll take caller 10, regular line. Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-3776. You will win $100 in onsite Hawthorne Racecourse wagers. Another $100 you can use in the PointsBet Sportsbook and a bunch of other cool stuff. Danny, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Congrats to you, Kaplan, on completing your walk. I'm proud of you.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks again for driving me yesterday down to work.
All right, we got the open. Here we go.
That's why
Shot, no shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I Someone's got to bring some order to this show. My God, we're doing things out of order here. Here we go. Got to have it open. You can't do half shot or no shot without the open, pal. Go ahead, Danny. That's
Take
how
that.
We do things.
There you
All
go.
All right, gentlemen, there was Thursday night football yesterday. Sam Darnold completed 23 of 34 passes for 304 yards. He rushed for two touchdowns as the Panthers improved to 3-0 on the season with a 24-9 victory over the Texans. Darnold had just four 300-yard games in 3 years with the Jets. He now has two 300-yard games in back-to-back weeks for the Panthers. Many analysts are blaming the Jets and not Darnold for his play in New York City. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot? There is a parallel between the Jets and the failure at the quarterback position and our beloved Bears, who haven't had a franchise QB since Sid Luckman.
That's a shot. The best that the Jets could do was Mark Sanchez, back-to-back playoff appearances for them under Rex Ryan. They've had the same issues with trying to find a quarterback. This, as of late, goes right to the falls at the feet of Gase, right?
Falls right at the feet.
Adam Gase.
Correct.
I mean, here's a guy that's supposed to be an offensive guru, right?
Correct.
Didn't see that.
Nope.
Didn't see that at all with the Jets. And now he goes to a different place. As I always tell you, Cap, sometimes you just try to get a fresh coat of paint. Sometimes you just need something different, a new scenery, right? And it seems like it's working well for Sam Darnold. This is the Sam Darnold we saw at USC. And again, it's not great, but it's pretty quality for the Carolina Panthers.
Yep, 3-0. Again, they beat a bad team, but you know what? You beat who's on your schedule.
Sure.
You take care of business. That is what they are doing. So it was really good to see, and that's a shot, and it will terrify everyone in the city if, and I'm not saying it will, if Brian Daboll goes and works magic with Mitch, and then he goes somewhere and takes him with him, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that dude's pretty good. How do we F that up?
I saw enough in preseason to know that Mitch is fine. Saw enough in preseason against the Bear. That's exactly
right. Against the Bear.
Well, I mean, look at that offense, right? Moves around the pocket, quick striking offense, run the football. How about that? He doesn't have the ball and chain at the line of scrimmage. Like, don't move. Sack.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you didn't accentuate the positives on Mitch. Move around the pocket. He asked for it, and Nagy wouldn't want to do it because Matt sees himself out there. I would move around the pocket, so you don't move either. Take that.
Danny.
If I gave you truth serum, would you hope that Mitch becomes great to make Matt Nagy look bad, or would you hope he doesn't become great because we don't want our quote-unquote genius to look that horrible?
The former.
Yeah, same here. I hope he balls out somewhere.
The former.
Not saying you will. I'm just saying I hope he does.
And another thing, too, is about maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I've been getting my ass kicked here. I know what to expect now. if this happens again, this won't happen because I know what it's like in Chicago. Once now I'm at a different program, I know what's expected of my blind side. I know to throw the ball away. I know to run out of the pocket. This is maturity for some. It doesn't happen right away for everybody.
Correct. Danny.
Gentlemen, Zach LaVine talked to Brian Windhorst, and he told him that this season is, quote-unquote, crucial for the direction of the Bulls and his own future. LaVine was excited by the Bulls' aggressive offseason, but he says that it is a crucial decision in determining the direction for the team and himself as he enters the final season of his contract before free agency began. And while he was playing for Team USA in Tokyo, LaVine said he outplayed his contract and he wanted his respect in hopes of getting a contract extension this offseason. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Zach LaVine's comments to Brian Windhorst indicate he is not happy with his current situation in Chicago, and this could become an issue.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. I think that Zach wants to be here. I think he wants to see progress, absolutely, and he wants to get paid. He knows he's earned that paper, and as long as he takes care of his business, that means going out, being a good dude like he is, playing outstanding basketball, Zach LaVine's going to get more money than he ever imagined. Here,
I will say shot only because it deals with money in a contract. It's always an issue, whether it's a small issue or a big issue, because it's money and it's the difference between being paid and not being paid and when you're going to be paid this season, next off season. It's always an issue. I will tell you this. LaVine has the Bulls by the balls, and here's why. If LaVine walks away, the Bulls are back to square one. I mean, it collapses. Nothing against Vucevic or DeRozan or Alex Caruso or those guys. But, Cap, if LaVine's not part of this team, you're in the lottery again. And the Bulls thing is they're trying to stay out of the lottery forever if they can in this regime. They're tired of the lottery, and I get it, right? Now it's time to make trades to try to get better, get some scoring around Zach. Zach knows that. So Zach has them by the short and curlies. There's no question.
All he has to do is worry. Don't be like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not talking about as a player.
Right.
I'm talking about the offseason. Just do your deal. Score, pass, be better defensively, be a great leader, great dude in the locker room, and be Zach. And you're going to get a big deal here.
And your advice is wait until next offseason, right?
Correct. Wait till they don't have to use cap room. They can use their bird rights for you, and then they could go over the cap to give you the max deal.
The Under the Hood Basketball Podcast on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed. Go to the ESPN Chicago app, click Cap and J Hood, bam! Your basketball information right there. On the feed right there.
It's awesome.
We give J.J. Redick his flowers on that podcast
Correct,
as well.
Correct, as he is retired.
How about that? So he doesn't have another year?
Come on over here.
Yeah, seriously.
Always use a shooter.
No, seriously. I'll be glad to have him for one more year because he's still shooting basketball.
Bring your inked up body to Chicago.
Seriously. Danny.
Gentlemen, quickly, I know I'm just your humble narrator, but if I could add my shot or no shot to that shot or no shot, I think it's a shot that the Bulls should be concerned. He made those comments in Tokyo about how he wants his respect. He made the comments to Brian Windhorst how this is a crucial season for him and his future. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, he hired Clutch Sports Agency, who Brian Windhorst says that NBA players go to when they want to force a trade. If I was the Bulls, I would be a little bit nervous. Moving on,
gentlemen. Now, wait a minute. Nobody asked you to stick your beak into our
exactly.
shot or no shot. What are you doing?
You're the narrator.
What are you doing? You don't see Bob Costa. Never mind. Go ahead.
By the way, speaking of Zach LaVine, SI ranked him as the 29th best player in the NBA. ESPN ranked him as the 33rd best player in the NBA.
Beg your pardon.
Just go out and play. Do your job.
Sticking your beak in there.
The NBA players don't just go out and play. That's not how NBA players work anymore. Jonathan Toews, he skated with teammates during a conditioning drill as the Chicago Blackhawks opened training camp yesterday. The longtime Hawks captain missed all of last season. He was dealing with a quote-unquote stress condition, and he says he also had COVID-19 in addition to that. Toews admitted that he was exhausted after going through the first drills of camp. He said that he hopes to be ready to play opening night. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, Jonathan Toews will be a major contributor for the Chicago Blackhawks this season.
That's a shot because he'll be a contributor whether he's just in the room as an okay player or he's back to being the beast that he is on the ice. This guy is a huge, huge part of what they do.
I would say shot to that as well. It's good to be able to unravel some of the stuff that was going on with him. Once again, Cap, I think it's very it's ominous. I think it's very compelling that we didn't know anything that was going on with Jonathan Toews, media-wise. Because, hey, listen, hockey doesn't have a Schefter, right? Where is the Schefter? You know, where is the Woj?
In Canada.
Emily Kaplan. She's going to be the pass-in of the NHL.
Well, I mean, and a pass. I'll throw him in there as well. We should have known what was going on. And Cap's question was, do we have the right to know? Okay, now that's a long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We know about all the other athletes that's going on behind the scenes, injury-wise, personal. But in the NHL, everything is clandestine. Everything is closed down. I want to know if the guy was okay. It's good to see him back on the ice, right? But I find it interesting in the NHL, lower body injury, upper body injury. And then you come up to find out after the Stanley Cup final, yeah, he had a collapsed lung. Yeah, he had a heart issue. Yeah, he had a broken leg. Excuse me?
And you're right. You mentioned the lung. Patrice Bergeron of the Bruins.
Yeah.
When I was there in 2013 with Pat Boyle covering that game six that the Hawks won, I remember hearing, how is that dude playing? He doesn't look right. They're like, no, he's just tough. He's exhausted. Soon as the freaking game ended, the Hawks win, off to the hospital with a collapsed lung.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That would never happen in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA.
Ramos Ramirez would have been on the 60-day injured list.
Those guys are tough. I just think that we should have the information. My God, he was out with a severed toe. What do you mean? He missed two toes, but he kept playing. What do you mean?
Duncan Keith, the ex-Hawk.
Yeah.
He took a puck in the face. He had seven teeth knocked out. He went to the locker room. They put oral glue and gauze into his mouth. He missed two shifts. Back out. Chris Bryant, he'd be out for 2 years.
Yep. One flap down. Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen, very, very quickly, because we're running out of time, and also because golf really deserves to only be talked about very, very quickly. Europe has won 4 of 5 in 9 of the last 12 Ryder Cups. Oftentimes when the Americans had a better team and more talent, the Americans are 2-1 betting favorites, according to many sports books, to defeat the Europeans at the 43rd Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits this weekend. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, Team USA takes the cup this year.
Yeah, that's a no shot. I think Europe will at least tie, which allows them to retain the cup. I hope USA wins. I'm from United States.
You are?
But I can't. Yeah, they tell me.
I'm from United States.
And I'm excited to watch this all weekend long. It's one of my favorite events.
You got any tips? Schauffele, the U.S. score?
So how about this? Now I can pull the curtain back.
How about Spieth, 7-1?
I'll pull the curtain back for you on something right after this. And it was amazing. I couldn't take care of it. Plus Jesse Rogers. I'll tell you something that I knew, I told you guys, and there was no way to get down on it, and it was a lock.
All right.
It was very frustrating.
Take that.
We'll be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's 8:20, pour a cup of coffee, your first, your second, your third, and just have fun with us as we get you set for the weekend. It's a football Friday and a baseball celebration Friday here on the home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000. Carmen Yerk, follow us, then Greeny, then Waddle, Sylvie, and Bleck and Abdallah leading into White Sox baseball. What time is White Sox baseball at today on our fine radio station? Danny will have that. We'll get you time for the pregame show and have everything.
Or you could ready to go. You could ask your partner.
Go ahead. I didn't know you had it.
Of course. I'm a White Sox. Of course I know the time.
What time is pregame?
Well, it's a 5:30 pregame with a 6:10 first pitch as the Sox take on the Indians.
There you go.
You could ask me. You ever know when I might have information next to you?
You got a mic.
No.
Take over.
No. You're supposed to throw it to me.
I got an even better idea than him asking you. How about in that last 5 minutes where we sat during the commercial breaks? Hey, Danny, what time's the Sox game tonight?
Oh!
How about that, champ?
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Talk to your partner.
Hey, Jonathan, what time is White Sox baseball today?
It's a 5:30 pregame and a 6:10 first pitch as the Sox take on the Indians right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000.
Thank you. There you go. That leads us to Jesse Rogers, brought to you by the Pride Stores. Jesse, good morning. You were there. You witnessed it. What was it like? Because that is a really cool thing. First time in 13 years White Sox are division champs.
Yeah, I mean, they set the tone early, right? I mean, Tim Anderson, I know that we judge value different ways, and one guy doesn't make a team. But, man, I mean, 14-1 when this guy homers. He homers in the first two innings, right? 20 over 500 when he starts, 500 when he doesn't start. He really is the motor of this team. So that game was set, you know, the tone was set early on. And afterwards, it was kind of like, you know, handshakes and high fives on the field, but it wasn't jumping on each other. It was that whole, we've got bigger, you know, fish to fry here coming up. I think making it last year sort of leads to that feeling this year, that winning this division isn't enough, even though last year was just a wild card. So I think the fact that it was inevitable also contributed to sort of a subdued feeling. But it was cool, no doubt. It was cool. I was talking to Kenny Williams before the game. I mean, 2008, right, is the last time. Time flies in one sense. It also is pretty slow when you're an executive, and year after year after year, you're not winning divisions. You're not going to the postseason. So they were kind of soaking it in. And then, of course, Jerry Reinsdorf came out of hiding to speak to reporters, and that was interesting. And now they can go into the next phase, which is prepping for this really tough first-round series. Let's face it. They're going to be underdogs. They should be underdogs. The Astros do almost everything well. It's going to take a monumental effort to beat them.
What stood out most about what Jerry had to say to the pool reporters?
There were several things. First of all, how about this line? And, you know, he loves to tweet Cub fan. Our fans are probably the most knowledgeable fans in baseball, much more knowledgeable than the fans of some other teams in the other league. I mean, he's not talking
heavens.
About.
I mean, why?
The Cubs did it.
He's not talking about the Marlins.
Right? No.
He's right?
Our fans are very knowledgeable. Unlike the Cubs fans. That's what I really want to say.
So, two other things that were really interesting. Two other things that were really interesting to me. I've never really heard him talk about the Kenny Williams Rick Hahn dynamic. He said they have different skill sets. Kenny is the ultimate talent evaluator, Rick is a great implementer. Rick handles the media, which enables Kenny to focus on what he does best, which is talent evaluation and watching ball games. And actually, that's exactly my view of the two of them. In fact, you know, Kenny Williams being that idea guy, here's an idea that he came up with. The White Sox are going to go to Houston a day earlier than you would expect. Usually you might go 2 days ahead of time out west, but, you know, get used to the time difference. They're going to go to Houston 2 days ahead of time to get used to playing indoors a little bit more. The fact that they only go down there once a year and they have a lot of young players, they want to have two workouts down there to get used to that. I've been told that's a Kenny Williams idea. So I love that sort of, you know, we talked a lot about Theo and Jed back in the day. Well, Kenny and Rick work pretty damn well together. So that was one other interesting thing. And the last thing was just him, you know, talking about Tony La Russa, which he hasn't all season. He said, I absolutely felt he was the best guy for the job. I never had any doubt in my mind. You know, he went to Rick and Kenny and said, you have to go after this guy. And, of course, they listened to him. And the final thing is just kind of the feeling about this team. He said, I don't see why we can't go all the way. But if we don't, I wouldn't be stunned either. And I know that's an obvious thing to say, but I really think it does apply to this team. Like, I don't know how far the White Sox are going to go. They could go all the way, and they could be out in the first round. It's just that feeling of it just things have to really click for them to go far. And if one thing doesn't, they could be out early.
As you look at the bullpen dynamic, Kopech, I know, got a start yesterday, but he's going to be used in high leverage pitches without a doubt in the postseason. Who are the lockdown guys that you feel best about right now, not named Liam Hendricks?
Yeah, I mean, Craig Kimbrell, I still think, is going to be there when you need him because, look, since he even got there, they've had this big lead. He had to get used to the eighth inning. I mean, this guy lives off adrenaline, and I think the playoffs will bring out the best in Craig Kimbrell. I'm sort of taking a glass half full approach with him because he hasn't been as good with the White Sox. but the games just haven't been as meaningful. And the stuff is still good. The knuckle curve is still good. I don't think there's any doubt that that Kopech's going to be one of the most valuable bullpen arms because he'll be used in multiple games. He also could start game four if Carlos Rodon doesn't go. If he's not ready, they could start Kopech for just two or three innings. Remember, they're trying to stretch him out to three innings over the next 10 days to have him ready. Could be in a relief role, could be in game four if Rodon doesn't go. From the left side, man, it's Bummer and Crochet. I mean, it's two guys that haven't seen a lot of, you know, high leverage in the playoffs, obviously. In the regular season they have, and that's the way it's going to go. But they'd love to shorten the game to a Kopech, Kimbrel, Liam Hendricks situation, almost see no other reliever. They will carry two long men. They will carry Lopez and Keuchel in case of a start that goes short or an extra inning effort. So, and there's that idea that Keuchel could piggyback Kopech in a game four situation if Rodon can't go. So there's a lot of moving parts yet to be figured out here, but that's some of my thoughts on the bullpen.
Jesse, if I was going to name one White Sox player that's been the glue to all of this, I would say it's Jose Abreu. He is this era's Paul Konerko for me. I'm glad that for the deal that they signed, that works. So who is it for you, the guy that's been, I mean, with all the topsy-turvy, the IL, everything that's been going on with this ball club to be champions, the glue to the team of the White Sox is?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is Abreu. In fact, Reinsdorf talked about him as well, and learning what kind of a leader he became and all that stuff. There's no doubt. I mean, this guy got hit over and over again, got up and kept playing, got that collision, you know, was in the lineup the next day. The whole team looks up to him. There's no doubt it's him. If I were going to give you a 1A or 1B, it would certainly be Tim Anderson in one sense. He's the motor. But I'd seen the pitching staff, the addition of Lance Lynn, absolutely huge. And that's why I think Lance Lynn, he's such nails. I think he's the game one starter. Some people think it could be Giolito. I think it's going to be Lynn in a hostile environment like that. I mean, both games down there are important, but just to set the tone, he won't be rattled. I think it will be Lynn, and he certainly is sort of the glue guy for the pitching staff.
The Dallas Keuchel signing was heralded as John Lester coming to the South Side, that type of guy.
That was the hope.
And I remember the first dinner they had as a team, Keuchel's mom got up at the dinner and, you know, very in a profane manner, but jokingly, just time to go win the effing World Series and how she put it and all that. It hasn't quite worked out for him personally. What is his role?
Yeah, like I said, long man. He's going to make the roster. He's going to be the long man.
But is he the guy if Rodon can't really go? Is he the guy?
No, he won't start. He won't start. He might come in relief. If they do some sort of a bullpen game in game four, meaning maybe Kopech starts. I don't think he'd start, but if he did, it'd be like a one-time through the rotation, one-time through the lineup type thing. But I don't think they're planning on him to have meaningful innings unless they're forced to, and that's extra innings or in a piggyback situation. That's where he is. Like, not every signing is going to work out perfectly, right? Not every trade. And he's one that hasn't worked out perfectly. He's been serviceable at times, but certainly he hasn't broken the top four this season. And so, yeah, he's going to be an expensive long man in the playoffs.
Give us a little nugget on the Cubs, please.
Real quick. I mean, I'm going to be over there
suck.
Today.
No one asked you, keep your beak out of it, Kaplan. I asked Jesse.
Yeah, I would say the first game's on ESPN today. I'll be on the pregame show at 1.
What?
But don't be surprised if David Ross gets an extension to his contract sooner rather than later. Look, if David Bell, decent manager, but he hasn't done a whole lot, gets an extension, and certainly Torrey Lovello with the last place Diamondbacks gets an extension, then David Ross is going to be in line with one. They love him. He's got 1 year left already. Man, that went quick. He's got 1 year left. I don't think they start spring training without giving him an extension, but I think it's probably going to happen sooner than that, maybe before the end of the season like these other managers are getting. And frankly, I don't see why he shouldn't get it.
With you.
Yeah, if you believe in him, let him work with this new group. Yes, it didn't work out with the older group, but I don't think you can put that on David Ross. Let's see how he manages this new group. He hasn't done anything to me to where red flags would be raised, right? I don't see it. Huh. So I think he's going to get an extension sooner rather than later.
I do have one quick question as we're running out of time.
Yeah.
That Ross analysis is just ridiculous. If there's anybody else, it's like, maybe he's not the guy. Come on now.
I said is I don't see a red flag, Jonathan. Maybe he's not the guy, but I just give me a reason why he's not the guy.
Well, I mean, he was the guy that's supposed to be as good or better than Madden. Or was he just a placeholder, in which I thought he would be just a placeholder? You made a managerial change because you want something new and different in the locker room, right? That's why they made the change. Okay, so what has Ross done that Madden couldn't have done?
Well, I don't know anybody that thought he'd be better in his first year ever managing compared to a guy that's been doing it for 20 years or whatever, and in baseball for 50 years.
Yeah.
So I never thought he'd be better. I think they tried to change something up because it wasn't working, and it worked for a while in 20, and then they reverted back to the same old problems. So eventually you realize it's a roster thing and not a managerial thing. I won't necessarily say he's the guy that's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but I would just say I don't see any red flags where he shouldn't continue on his job.
I completely agree.
I think he's got
a bad team.
Try Not to Suck should have still been the manager for me. That's what I think.
Yeah, I was ready for a change. And what he accomplished was amazing. Jesse, we got to fly really fast.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Do you think Cubs fans, if the World Series matchup is the Cardinals and the White Sox or the Brewers and the White Sox, I'll root for the White Sox, but do you think most Cubs fans will hold their nose and root for the National League because the Sox are their rival, or hold their nose, root for the Sox because the Cardinals or Brewers are their rival?
Okay, I'll split the difference. I think they would root for Milwaukee because I don't think that's a big deal, but I don't think they would root for St. Louis. I don't think they'd root for St. Louis.
That's right.
They better not.
You want to go to the game today? Hey, it's Cubs Cardinals. You going, right?
I'm going tomorrow.
What about today?
No.
1:20, let's go.
Nope.
Doubleheader.
I got stuff to do. All right, we got to roll. Jesse, have a great day.
Good, and congrats on the walk yesterday.
Thanks, man.
So cool you raised all that money. Take care.
Appreciate you.
See you, Jonathan.
See you.
All right, man.
Is it too early for Halloween? You make the call. Light them up.
Ooh.
Next. It's our favorite time of year as we're back traveling the road of college football. And Goodyear knows the passion and excitement it takes to drive forward. Whether your team is home or away, the game's traditions are still the same. Through every first down, touchdown, or fourth quarter comeback, by moving, anything is possible. Goodyear is here to drive you forward on the road that moves us all. Goodyear, more driven.
This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Is it too early for Halloween? Is it Halloween or Halloween?
It's Halloween.
I thought it's Halloween.
Are you from Chicago or not? Are you from Chicago or not?
I think so.
Okay. What would your mom call it?
My mom's from Brooklyn.
Right. Well, how would she say it? Halloween?
Go down to the corner and get some Halloween.
Halloween candy.
Candy. Yeah.
That's right. So, Halloween.
And
it's a good question because some look at Christmas. I'm sorry. They look at Halloween like they look at Christmas or St. Patrick's Day. They do all the decorations and all that.
Correct.
We don't do that in the Hood household. No shot.
How about Christmas decorations?
Absolutely. You got to compete with the neighbors on the hill.
There you go.
so you got to do that. Absolutely.
Pill Hill?
Yeah. South Shore. You got to make sure that everyone is taken care of.
Right.
So, Danny, what is going on in your neighborhood? Because, again, when I checked the calendar this morning, it was September 24th.
You are correct, Hoodie. And you bring up neighborhood competition, and that's where this story kicks off, right? So let me just start the story by saying the people that I'm going to speak about are close friends of our family. And we're very, very lucky to live in a neighborhood with a lot of young couples that have young kids, and we all get along and we all hang out.
Not all get along.
We all get along.
Oh, there's a neighbor that you have excoriated her for how she parks.
Oh, the van, yeah.
I really am
like the neighborhood police officer because, like, after this story, you're going to wonder. I should be the dean of the neighborhood. But, okay, let's get to the story, right? So we have neighbors, Tim and Katrina. They're awesome. They have kids our kids' age. We hang out with them almost every single day, right? Katrina, the mom here, the woman in question, she is, I call her the mayor of our neighborhood. Our complex has about 80 houses. She literally knows the names of every neighbor in every house. She walks the neighborhood, says hi to everyone. She legitimately is one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet.
The Lightfoot of the neighborhood, you're saying.
No, don't you dare compare Katrina to Lori Lightfoot.
You said mayor. Go ahead.
A good mayor. And Harold Washington of the neighborhood.
And you're the dean.
I'm the dean of the neighborhood. So it's super sweet, and she is on the Mount Rushmore of hosts. If you get invited to the backyard of a Tim and Katrina, you know you're going to have a great night because Katrina's on the Mount Rushmore of hosts.
What?
That being said,
go ahead.
Let me take you back to Wednesday. The date, gentlemen, was September 22nd. It was exactly 40 days till Halloween. Now, I'm lucky with these hours that I get to stand at the bus stop every day when the kids get home from school. So I make my little stroll from my house to the bus stop, and the bus stop happens to be directly in front of Tim and Katrina's house. Mm-hmm. I look to my right, and I see their house decorated for Halloween as if it was the most important holiday in the world. Pumpkins and witches and fairies, 75 decorations all over the lawn, all over the bushes. And it's 40 days till Halloween. Yeah. The kids all get off the bus. They see the house, and they are as excited as you could possibly be because, of course, Katrina has decorated the house for Halloween, which means Halloween is right around the corner. And every single kid that got off the bus said, "When are we decorating our house?" I looked at Katrina and I said, "I love you. You're the greatest. But why would you do this to the neighborhood? You started too early. You set the bar too high. And now we all got to follow suit because you decided 40 days before Halloween it was time to decorate."
Yeah, you know, it's a little premature, right? Don't you want to start that in October? You know, the second week of October, do it for 3 weeks and then snatch it down?
No question. And like, yeah, there are people in my neighborhood that have the Christmas lights up, you know, well into January.
Well, that's just laziness.
Now, a couple weeks.
That's just laziness. Like, no joke.
I don't disagree.
Like, in my house, so we have a mixed marriage. My wife puts up, first of all, my wife's amazing at each season.
Sure.
She, like, for Valentine's Day,
yeah,
for probably a month, we've got, the towels are red and white. We've got little heart stuff. And then Valentine's Day's over. The next day, she's got stuff up for spring coming.
Mm-hmm.
She does a 4th of July theme. She does a end of summer theme. She does Thanksgiving theme. And she'll do a little bit of Halloween, but she won't do it till 2 weeks before. And the day Halloween's over, the next day, stuff's gone.
Snatch it down.
How quick do you get rid of your tree at Christmas?
Well, after the first of the year, well, actually after the national championship game. So that's 4 or 5 days into January. That's okay. Usually what it is for me. Now, when we put the lights up and everything, that's usually after Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So if it's beforehand, you want to show off, that's fine. But for Halloween, I don't know if you put that stuff up now. Unless you really are into Halloween. Like some people, that is their major holiday.
Yeah, Cap. See, I'm not a Halloween guy.
Yeah, I'll put it on the list. I'm not the big Halloween guy. I don't dress up for Halloween, all that nonsense. I don't do that for me. I'm an adult, so I don't do that.
Right.
But for some people, Cap, it's the ultimate in holidays where, you know, just the ghouls and like the
spiders,
stuff that you put on the evergreens, the web, all that stuff. I get it for some, but it is early. I would agree.
I'm not anti-decorating. I'm anti-decorating 40 days too early. And my neighbor Dan, you guys have know about him, Officer yes. Dan. Officer Dan and I, we said to each other, it's a little bit early for Katrina to be putting those out.
How soon for holiday decorations, Danny, for Christmas holidays?
I don't do Christmas, guy.
I'm not saying for you, but in your neighborhood, if someone put them up the day after Thanksgiving, they're going to have them up for 6 weeks.
But that's lights, it's bright, it's fed. Like Halloween is not Christmas. Like, you could decorate for Halloween, and we will decorate the house for Halloween, just not 40 days early, right? Okay. I'm not anti the decorating. I'm anti setting the bar for the neighborhood so high 40 days prematurely.
All right, you make the call.
There you go. Too early to decorate for Halloween. 312-332-3776. Too early or just right? Your calls next.
Here's David Kaplan.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, buddy. Love you. This hour brought to you by Valparaiso University. Think of the world you want to live in, then come to Valpo and build it. The fall 2022 application now open. To learn more or apply, visit valpo.edu. That's a fine.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Harry.
Rolling on. We're having some fun with the You Make the Call. Is it too early to decorate for Halloween? Just like in Danny's neighborhood, Katrina. Katrina is the mayor of the neighborhood.
Sweet, literally probably the sweetest person in the neighborhood.
Sweeter than you?
Come on, Cap. You know me.
Yeah.
You work with me. That's not hard.
Right.
I would say if there's 80 houses in the neighborhood, two people per house, that's 160 people. I'm probably like the 155th sweetest person.
Yeah, I said when the good Lord built you, as Danny went through the assembly line, yes, I would like a little extra like nutritional guidance.
Sure.
Knowledge. Okay, step here for sensitivity. I'll pass.
Yes, the good Lord forgot the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
The cold black heart of a Danny Centerman. Everything else is fine.
We got any black hearts? Stick that in that guy.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. I got an update from the neighborhood. Sources close to me in the neighborhood say Katrina has been made aware of what we're discussing. She is now headed out to buy more decorations.
All right.
Just out of spite for me.
Again, she's doing her own, not a spite store, her own spite home. That's what she's doing.
All right,
she's the Mocha Joe of the neighborhood.
All right, let's go to Layla. I thought she was on the air right now. Hey, Layla, what's going on?
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi there. I have a lot of feelings about this. I think Katrina is fantastic, first of all. So September 1st is the start of spooky season. Why are you going to spend money on decorations if you're not going to put them up? And there's a natural progression of when you decorate for holidays. So September 1st is Halloween until October 31st. Does all that time.
September 1st.
Okay.
Before Labor Day. Wow.
That's 61 days.
Absolutely. It is an important time of year. So we're going to spend, what, maybe Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving on Christmas. Why can't we do the same for spooky season?
How about that, Cap?
I think it's lazy of you to feel attacked on her doing a good job.
That's exactly right. I feel attacked. You used the exact word. It's a personal attack.
So, Layla, you are completely against Danny here.
100%. Yes, I am pro Katrina.
All right.
Take that,
appreciate
Danny.
The phone call.
Layla, you're awesome. Thank you. By the way, Layla,
yes.
How did you find our show? Were you listening to White Sox baseball the night before?
My husband, I dragged him down to Florida because I work at Disney World, and he's obsessed with you guys. We grew up in Chicago, and he listens every morning. He has you guys on while he's at work, and, you know, we had an early morning today, and he had you guys on, and I was like, I need the phone number. I feel passionate about this, and I have to call you guys, so here we are.
You're awesome. What do you do at Disney?
So I just work in the entertainment area, and you know, I used to dance up in Chicago, and now I'm down there. So, woo!
Awesome. You keep it going, Layla. You're awesome.
That's another way of saying she wears the Disney, the Daisy costume, right? Like, we're taking advice from a woman who dresses up as a Disney character.
Daisy is a duck. Daisy is a duck.
Take that,
Keep Danny. The magic alive.
Keep the magic alive. We love you. Thank you.
Love you guys. Bye.
See ya. How about that? Back to the phones. Tom in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tom.
Welcome to GN.
What's up, guys? Long time caller, first time listener.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Funny guy.
So my thing is, too, you don't know what other people's schedules are like. Like, normally, I would decorate for Halloween literally when it turns to October. But because of I have my son's football games. I've got a half marathon relay that I'm doing and such like that. So I might be putting my Halloween decorations up early. So, and plus too, if it is an elaborate deck out and such, you know, there's no way somebody can be able to do that all just in one day. So maybe this is her plan, doing it a little bit at a time. So then once when it gets up to Halloween and such, and so I'm fine with it. You know, if people want to put it up, you know, before October.
All right, so Danny's wrong. Tom, thanks, man. Appreciate you calling.
That's what you got out of that call, that Danny's wrong?
100%.
Oh, for heaven's sake. It is too early, though, Cap. If you were putting those decorations up, you more than likely, well, like October, like second week of October.
Correct.
3 weeks down.
Down. It's a quick holiday.
Yeah.
Let's go to Eddie on the north side. Eddie, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys, just yesterday I put up my 12-foot skeleton in front. The thing is, it takes a lot of time. I do homemade items, too. And we in the city here, which is great, we have two block parties. We have one in the summer, and we have one for Halloween. And it's the week before Halloween. Everybody, like, makes pots of chili. We roast corn. We have the fire pits out there. It is a blast. People get dressed up and everything. So I'm one of the guys that do that stuff. I got to get your thing. I will send you guys pictures. You can check it out and everything because I get really into it, and it's cool. It's awesome. I just loved Halloween from when I was a little kid.
Can your skeleton play quarterback?
No, but he takes a good hour and a half, 2 hours to put together. You guys have probably seen him somewhere. I mean, they were really rare to get at the store. I mean, I paid $300 for it. They're going for about $1,500, $2,000 on eBay right now.
So are you in the city?
Yes, I am. Norwood Park.
Where?
Norwood Park.
Okay, because we walked by. It had to be a 20-foot skeleton yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's it. Well, it's 12 feet high, but I don't know. It's big. Believe me, you need a ladder to put it together
question.
And everything.
Yep. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate
you,
the call.
We appreciate it.
So you make the call. Too early to decorate for Halloween. Phone lines are hopping. Danny says yes. A lot of people coming at him. Not all agree. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts. You make the call. 2 minutes.
Take that.
And watch us on Twitch. Brought to you by Pinehurst Resort.